Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, October 27th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Happy Halloween coming up.
Happy Halloween. It's kind of a spooky kind of, you know, a little darker, spooky vibe tonight. We're kind of having that that broadcast. Welcome to those that are able to join us live, as well as to those listening to us in the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at MetaphysicsInstitute.org and TFUniversity.org. Now, before we get into tonight's topic, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles belief. And those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so we're having a kind of Halloween-themed topic. We're going to be talking about spirits and the paranormal. But I think, and Dr. Hunter and I were talking about this prior to the start, that the history of Halloween is fascinating and how it ties into, you know, various indigenous European cultures.
Well, it's the it's really got that time of after harvest and prior to winter and that kind of celebration, but it's the Night of the Dead. Now, the church actually took over the good old church, hey, Michael.
Oh, come on. What have they ever done to anybody?
I know. All Saints Eve, you know, and it was a negotiation of around November 1, 2, that kind of thing, where they would celebrate the dead. And a lot of very old indigenous cultures, including my own Scandinavian culture, would make sacrifices to the gods on that night and feed the dead. And, you know, that was to make peace with the dead for the coming winter, that sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. And, the church came along, I think it was around the 7th century, and they had their own that was in Europe, I believe. And if I just look this up for a second, because I had it here, mm-hmm. It was in Rome. They had a different celebration on around that time, believe it or not. So I'm just going to read this to you. The Romans had celebrated Lemuria, a festival of the dead, see, each May. But now the feast was dedicated to Catholic saints. Of course it was. Mm-hmm. During the 8th century, Pope Gregory III moved the annual festival, which was an early predecessor to All Saints' Day, for Romans to November 1, right around the time Samhain took place. And then Pope Gregory IV made the change for the Western Church. See? So, you know, it's really an old indigenous, and what I mean by that, indigenous, European indigenous celebration. Mm-hmm. But I think all tribes on Earth celebrated something likened to
well,
that. So.
It strikes me as something being dictated by the reality that we all share. It
yes.
is a time to celebrate the harvest. That is something that happens no matter where you are. If you are in a place that has seasons, you will have an end to summer, a beginning of winter, and you'll have the harvest time, and you also, obviously death gets played into it, because as winter comes on, plant life will either die off or hibernate until the winter's over. So you do kind of go through a death and rebirth back into spring, and this is something that I think early, you know, you hate to even use the word primitive anymore, but, you know, early humanity would have, how, you know, how do you process these things? You know, it becomes a huge part of your life, and honestly, you gotta celebrate things in life, and you have to find reason for ceremony and tradition. These kind of things anchor many cultures and many peoples. So.
Well, and what I think has evolved, but I want to just inject here, there have been periods of time where the church banned Halloween.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's dabbling with the occult.
And then, you know, now it's a common, rather, as you say, you know, it's an across-the-board, universal, global kind of celebration, and everybody celebrates that differently, and different expressions of it. So, mm-hmm. I mean... now, of course, Christians, you know, they have fun with Halloween, too. But without seeing more of the fun of it rather than the meaning behind it. And I love celebrating the meaning behind it and then having fun with it.
Well, it depends on... I agree. And in this case, I would agree with you. But, you know, a lot of times it's, you know... When it comes to certain holidays, you know, well, what is the meaning behind it? So in this case, well, let's talk about that. What is the meaning behind this particular, the modernized Halloween? What is the meaning that you want to celebrate as you enjoy it?
You mean for me?
Yeah.
Oh, I see it as exactly what it's intended to be, much like Beltane. You know, it's in the spring. The planting, where now everything is going to sleep, and as things are going to sleep, you know, it thins the veils between the worlds. So you honor the spirits, you honor the mid worlds, you honor that, and you know, for me, I light sweet grass and sage, and I have my own little thing that I do. But then I go have fun with the kids. Every year now I do the witch thing and I go hand out candy at my grandkids' house.
Yeah, that's fun. So. And you know, I was thinking probably more along the lines of, you know, thinking about paying homage to those who've come before us and ancestors and things like that, you know, kind of times of the dead, and so to speak, but no, I think talking about the veil between worlds thinning is very interesting to me. I mean, I hadn't really thought about that before. That's a good point that you brought up.
Well, that term, actually, I can't entirely take credit for that, I have to be honest. There was an indigenous elder a few decades ago I had met, and we had a shared experience that we had both died and drowned, in fact. Oof. When we were about 5 years old, and to come back, and he said, and you know, I carried on doing readings and so on with people, he said, well, you're like myself, we walk with a thin veil between the worlds, and especially if you have touched that other world, you know, having come back from death, and you know, that near-death experience, so to speak. And so that's what he coined that phrase for me, and I've just carried on with it. So it's that veil, these veils between the dimensions. I get a great visual on that, you see. So
it's kind of honoring the world that you're connected to that is unseen, that you feel but can't see. That's very...
Well, I love Halloween. I think it's my... Other than Yuletide, my single favorite season, and the colors, and, you know, how everything is going to sleep, and the wonder of that. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, of course, you know, in springtime, you know, it's very exhilarating where everything comes alive. But the magic happens when things are going to sleep, you know, to me. And that's, it's everything is a little more sensitive. And again, I feel that thinning veil. And it excites me. And I like that. So my granddaughter was telling me that her dad took her to, we have this O'Keefe Ranch nearby that does these corn mazes. And they set up, you know, several different kinds. And, you know, some for little kids, others for adults. But they do scary stuff.
Yeah, so slash haunted, well, haunted yes. corn maze.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so, you know, it's just that exhilarating feeling that she was getting, and mm-hmm. even with her dad, you know, how scared they were, and it was so scary, and it was scary, and she repeated that to me, I don't know how many times the other night, but it was hilarious, and to see that, it's the fun of it, you see? And so when you take something that's very serious, and you bring in some kind of pleasure, albeit kind of macabre in a way, it is fun. And you know, Michael, we do, and in, you know, keeping with tonight's topic, we do have a fascination with death. We have a fascination with spirits.
Absolutely. It's the, we have to stare mortality in the face. And you know, it is inescapable. It has a, you know, gravitational pull that outweighs everything else. I mean, if you look at the entirety, well, not the entirety, but largely a lot of human society is built around trying to deal with the existential question of death and what is it and how do we deal with it.
My interpretation is really simple. I think it's because we're trying to remember where we came from.
Yeah.
It's not just where we're going and after this life, but it's this spiritual desire to remember, how did I get here? You know, where did I come from? And we have that, as I see it, as a spiritual memory. And, you know, to me, it's we're not just learning to be human, we're spiritually trying to remember ourselves and how to act as a human. And it's the land of creation here, as I see it. So I see in a little bit of reverse, everybody's quite obsessed with, well, what am I learning in this life?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, if you know how things operate, it's what are you creating? And every time you learn, you ought to be creating, because we're each here to create. Like, what are we giving to that experience? But we still have this love affair with paranormal, with investigating and, you know, being freaked out.
Yeah, you like that little, you know, adrenaline jolt.
You know,
and well, you know, it kind of engages that, you know, yes, it's an adrenaline jolt, but it also engages that little part of us that, you know, thinks about what if, you know, what if the, you know, ghosts and things are real? What if, just maybe, you suspend disbelief in certain things? And, you know, I think, you know, everybody loves going to a good haunted house, right? Everybody loves going to the theme parks when they do, you know, Halloween. Universal does a good one that I was able to go to once. But, you know, which kind of makes me think also about, this isn't specifically Halloween related, but we are, you know, talking about spirits and the paranormal and things. And I do want to kind of touch on some ghosts and goblin stuff later, but haunted houses or haunted places in general, why is that a thing? Why is one particular place haunted and another not? You know, these are some questions I was thinking about earlier today. Why are most ghosts that we see, or, well, I have never seen one, but why are ghosts that are reported to have been seen so recent in the fact that, you know, humanity has existed for tens of thousands of years across most of the earth? Why is it that we only see spirits from the relative, you know, short past, you know, within a couple hundred years, sometimes a few hundred years at most? Or if you get to some of the spooky European castles, you might have one that's several hundred years or bordering on 1,000. But still, that's not very long.
No, I think that I think most spirits have better things to do than hang around.
So instead of sticking around this plane, so that they move on to another one. And do you think, you know, the longer you're you know, procrastinating on this plane of existence, the more opportunities you get to move on? Or, you know, why aren't we seeing any, you know, very early tribal human ghosts from like tens of thousands of years ago?
The big questions. First of all, let's make the distinction between residual energy and live energy, because they're two very different things.
Very good point.
You can walk into a room and feel spiritual energy, but it's a residual as opposed to an entity.
Right.
And look, I can't tell you. I have theories, so I'm just going to share a couple of theories. Because I don't pretend to know for a fact anything that happens after we leave. But my sense of it is, and my experience with this is how I have interpreted it, is that some people, when their bodies stop, are able to ascend greater. Some people in their spirit has work to do. Maybe they have amends to make. Maybe there's fear, trauma, you know, something that is grounding them here, you know, something that needs to happen. And, I'm going to tell you a little story in a sec because it just hit my mind. It's really a good one. But I think that there are other layers of existence or consciousness once the soul leaves the body. And that's just my take on it. And it kind of evolves in other dimensions of space-time, and there is no time on the other side like we see time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had moved into this farmhouse many, many years ago. And I had known that the people who had been there had had a little bit of trouble, and the guy died down the road and so on. So, you know, and I'm moving in. I was familiar with this house because I lived there before, and the landlord said, hey, you know, you want to come back? I loved that house, so I did. And it took about a week or so, about 11 o'clock at night, getting into bed, and this guy, the silhouette of this guy who kind of showed his appearance, basically, said, what are you doing here? I looked at him, I said, I live here. And I mean, it was, the dialogue was as clear as anything in my head. Now, this was in around September. The incident of him dying was back in May. The family moved out in the summer. So there is this period of time, you know, many months. And so what's he doing here? I'm not sure. So I said to him, I live here. He said, no, this is my house. I said, no. Not. Well, where's my family? I said, I don't know. You've got to, you know, you're in a better position to find them than I am, to be honest. And he goes, well, why? How would I have to find my family? What's going on? I said, maybe you don't know this, but you're dead. He said, what do you mean I'm dead? I said, no, you're dead. You died, you know, in an accident up the road, blah, blah. And he was so distraught, because now, see, in our time space of many months, for him, it was a blink or a snap of a finger. So, you know, I said, you know, I mean, you can stay here for a while if you like to orient yourself, but you don't belong here anymore.
Right.
And he hung around. He appeared to me about three or four times. I saw him wandering around the farmyard, and I'm not the only one who saw him wandering around the farmyard, I might add, and other people did too. Who's that guy outside? Yeah, well, this guy who lived here before, and, you know, he's figuring it out.
Yeah, he's having a hard time moving on. Cut him some slack. Yeah. Give him some space.
It was, for him, it was all that trauma, and so he was trying to, in his way, you know, kind of make peace with the fact that he doesn't have a body anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So when you know, it takes a while to figure that out, then where do you go from here? So he'll figure that out.
Was the, you know, the image, was it, you know, crisp kind of, or would it say just like you're looking at another person standing in a room, or is there any, you know, visual differentiation?
Sometimes I've had many different experiences, Michael. Probably the most unnerving to me is seeing someone who appears to have a body. I can have a conversation with you, and then they just disappear. I got to tell you, that is freaky even for me.
Well, depending on how the conversation was going, it was either be a disappointment or a relief. Like, I know it's weird that guy just disappeared, but oh my God, they would not stop going on about the varieties of wines. I don't care. But
but I get them in different ways. What bugs me is when I know they're there and they won't talk to me. They're kind of, then I get irritated. And I said, look, if you're not going to talk to me, go away, because there's no use for you to be here. And I'm the director of my life and my environment. And I'd like everybody to really, you know, think about that for a moment so that you don't have fear, because to me there is nothing to fear. And even what they call, you know, those really bad spirits, I just see them as people without a body. There's really irritating people, too, and there's irritating spirits.
Oh, sure.
But if you have no fear and you're comfortable, they have no ability to do anything. Now, are there places that have a lot of activity? Yes. How much activity? Well, that's interpretive, and it's very subjective, because the mind can play tricks too. And you got to remember, we as human beings have emotional responses in our thinking. We filter everything through. So we're, you know, what you might see, Michael, is not what I might see.
Right.
See?
Absolutely.
And Dr. Edward. So I got to just say on air what's going on in the chat. Dr. Edward, he said he would have answered, what are you doing here? Audra says, what a shock. Hey, you're dead. Dr. Edward says, you are disembodied. It sounds a little more diplomatic.
It's how HR would handle it, you know. We don't want him to feel bad. And what's a lighter way? Your body has been misplaced underneath that vehicle and then in the ground.
No, you're dead. That's good to me. It's like, you know, I'm not negotiating this one. Dead is dead.
Yeah,
sorry.
You can have 5 minutes to collect yourself and then get out of my house and stay out of my fridge.
Oh, it's funny. So I had to share that for people in the archives. When you come onto the chat, there's some great little conversations that go on. And if you're ever able to join us, that's a good idea. So I think that this is... It's your experience, and honestly, I believe everybody can tune in to have that kind of mid-world experience. I really do. But again, it's about where your mind is at, and I think everybody has had some kind of experience, but you might have missed it, or you didn't interpret it in a way that was paranormal, let's say, or otherworldly. You know, it's like when things are, when it's kind of like, I thought I left my coffee cup there, but now it's over there. It's entirely possible. You really did leave it where you thought you did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's possible. Is it ordinarily a slip of the memory? Maybe.
Well, for sure is. I mean, there could be ghosts moving things around on me all the time, and I wouldn't know it because I'll be thinking about something and just absentmindedly set something down all the time. Or, you know, thinking, where did I put that? And I look, oh, yeah, that's right. And it comes back. But no, yeah, ghosts have probably been haunting me for years, and they're always so disappointed because I never react, because I'm always just assuming I absentmindedly leave things places.
Well, one of the more extraordinary moments I had when my kids were really little, and a whole bunch of my things had disappeared, a belt, my slippers, there was, you know, about five things that had all gone missing. The kids didn't know where they were, and so I'm getting really PO'd, you know. This is, okay, guys, that's enough. All you little people, spirits and little people, and you give me back my, and I listed everything, and I said, I want them back right now. So figure it out. Give me back my stuff. So, and again, I'm downstairs with my kids. So we go, I'm saying, okay, I have to go up to my room. I turn the corner to go up the staircase, and all my things are strewn from the bottom all the way to the top of the staircase. And I went, thank you very much. But meanwhile, in the back of my mind, I went, that was fast.
Well, I'm just thinking that's passive aggressive. They couldn't leave it, you know, on the table or something. No, they strewed it all across the stairs. Made you have to pick it up.
Well, I wonder what it takes to manifest those things, you know. I don't know, tossing things around. So so I know my kids didn't do it. My kids would play jokes on me, though, like write silly things on the microwave. And I said, oh, man, those spirits are busy, and they'd be giggling. And they'd come clean a year later, you know. No, Mom, we did that. So, but I know when my kids are involved and when not, generally speaking. Yeah. But that's a normal experience for me to go through this. The place that I work part-time at, this little artisan shop, a day or two a week, there are spirits in there. I hear them. Things crash and fall down. And I say, hey, don't break anything. But I swear somebody's in the store walking around. The woman who owns it, at least she's on top of this too, and we're both okay with that, you know, because things just happen in there, and that activity. As far as I can tell, there's three different spirits that pass through, and okay, you know, it's just, see, who knows why they're seemingly grounded spirits, I'm not sure, but there's always residual energy everywhere. Can you think, everywhere you go now, someone has passed.
Right.
Someone has. An animal, you know, some sort of life form has passed. And there is a residual to that.
Hmm. I think so that places always hold a certain energy. But go on.
Mm-hmm. No, I think if you tune into it, you can feel it, you know?
Yeah.
That's all, where there's been more activity in one place than another.
Yeah, so, you get a sense of it, especially out in nature. You can feel, you know, a place that has more death associated with it, has a negative feel to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes to us on a, you know, animalistic level. Whereas places that are more vibrant for life have that. And I think it, of course, is a mix, which brings me to another question that was on my mind. Are human beings the only species of animal that leaves behind that kind of ghost-like echo, or that holistic, you know, personality and a collection of memories and personality traits?
I don't think so, because my kids, well, I have critters that do this, but very often I've gone to my grandkids' house and I see their late cat, you know, wandering around. And I say, hey, you know, I just saw Sage. And they said, yeah, Sage is visiting again. There was one older woman I hadn't seen in a while, Magda, my great mentor, her friend, who lived many years later, Audra, saying she used to have a ghost cat too. But anyway, I went to visit Alice, and I walked in her, she, you know, opened the door, I walk in, I swear there was a cat sitting there. I went over and we sat down and I looked around, she's making tea, and I said, so where'd the cat go? And she smiled and said, oh, you saw him? And I said, well, he was right at the door when I came in. You know, I was going to pet him, but I just followed you into the kitchen. She said, yes, he visits. Oh, you see? Yeah. Oh, but clear as day I saw that cat. So
very interesting. Now, again, we're kind of running out of time, but, you know, we didn't even really get into talking about any of the other, you know, Halloween-esque kind of paranormal things, you know, goblins and ghouls and different kind of werewolves, vampires, ancient tales from things like that. But
we can do that next week.
That's a good one.
Let's do it. Let's do a follow-up to this, because there are other mid-world creatures. And in Scandinavia, the gnomes and fairies and goblins and Europe is filled with that. And here, in my experience with indigenous communities here in Canada and the U.S., they call them the little people, you know, and there's different little people. I also, that same farm that I lived on, had a giant spirit. And my indigenous friends would always sense his presence. And when I moved to another farm, he followed me.
Interesting.
And so I was, you know, I had my spirit friend who was a giant. He was like 8.5 feet tall. He didn't come out to BC with me because that was his territory. But, and there are old stories about how the giants roamed, you know, North America. But there are also giants.
So somebody that existed a physical life as, you know, some kind of, you know, probably, you know, hominid animal that died and is now existing as a spirit, you mean?
No, these were a species of human, an era in which very tall people lived here.
Right, right. You know, I said hominids. I don't know how clearly that came across.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
But interesting. So well, that's maybe the last kind of spirity question to wrap up the discussion for this Old Hallows Eve. Let's do part two, of course. And I guess the last question I got for you before we get into part two, which is going to be more, I think, around, oh, let's say cryptids, but also myths of indigenous peoples. And we'll think of an interesting way and how that ties into metaphysics. But what I was going to ask are, do you think the majority of spirits that exist were once corporeal life forms living on this earth? Or do you think many spirits began their existence as spirits and will either continuously exist or, you know, end their existence as spirits as well?
I think energy doesn't change. Energy just changes form. But are there spirits here who've never had a body? I can't answer that, Michael. To be honest, I hadn't really thought about that. You know, but it's entirely possible. Why wouldn't it be possible? Interdimensional beings.
That's a good point.
We would see them as spirits, but they're interdimensional beings that haven't had a body in our dimension of space-time. You know, maybe they're in another reality.
Well, is it possible? Well, we'll get into this next week. Of course. So we'll save some of the good chat for next week. And of course, we're coming up to that time where we're going to be pulling cards from our inner oracle deck as well as the tarot. So a little bit of time to let people in chat catch up with us. There's a little lag time on our live broadcast. So, no, it's just interesting stuff and there's no end to it. And of course, you know, how does this tie into metaphysics? Because it's the study of human awareness. And we look at history to see where we've come from. We look at history to look at what modern day myths, you know, originated from. By which I mean more like holidays, like Halloween. Why do we do the things we do today? Why is human society the way it is today? And we can see that in the past. But, you know, great topic. And, you know, Dr. Hunter, thank you for your insight in this. Great, you know, I don't want to call them stories, but great examples of just interesting spirit phenomena. And kind of a peek inside of the paranormal world.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
We're going to start off tonight, I know, picking cards with Dr. Edward, but I'd like to inject that he's also put in the chat that the giants were called the Nephilim.
I was thinking that, too. Well, the Nephilim were considered the offspring of angels and, you know, women. So those lustful angels come down to Earth, and the offspring would be the Nephilim, giants that roamed the Earth until the Flood, supposedly.
Mm. Well, the races of giants, and there are tales about how in the 1800s and early 1900s, there were graves of giants.
Let's see, now,
found all across the U.S.
That is an interesting story that I would... that I am admittedly skeptical of, but I would be very interested and open to hearing it. I'm going to look forward to that.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay, let's pick cards for Dr. Edward. Michael, go ahead. Inner Oracle Self-Discovery card, followed up by a tarot.
All right. So, first card of the evening, wild card number 8, Freedom.
Good one.
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Three of Hearts. So in tarot language, that's the Three of Cups, Edward. And what I see is you might have been, I would see a time where you're celebrating yourself, overcoming something, where you're feeling a greater sense of freedom. That's how I see it. Because the Three of Hearts is about celebration and happiness, joy. And that's what I'm saying. I think that a rite of passage where you're saying, wow, I'm really freed. You know, I feel like I'm freed up somehow. Or maybe it's an old belief system, an attitude, or, you know, something that's been holding you back. Maybe that's even financial. But in feeling that, whew, that's awesome. So yeah. I say, yeah, bake a cake.
I'm glad to hear that it's resonating. You had mentioned in chat. So glad that connected. Glad it's resonating. It's a good message.
Awesome. Ronnie is next, Michael.
All right, Ronnie. Number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Well, you've got the King of Hearts, Ronnie, so it could be in some way figuring out, I'm going to go with this, figuring out relationships, what belongs to you, what doesn't belong to you. And I'm going to kind of leave it at a simple response there, and maybe there's some kind of thinking about that, discussion around that. When you approach relationships or having a relationship, you know, maybe boundaries isn't exactly the word to use here, as it is feeling free enough to be you and not worrying about, you know, the them esteem and how somebody else is responding. And again, with sensitivity. So just that's where I'm going to go with that. So I think there's something you might be experiencing there right now, Ronnie. Or, you know, let's just say even in the next week.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. We have Jamil next. Let's see. All right, Jamil. I have number 19, invoke the counselor within. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth. But the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Boy, the King of Clubs comes up on that, Jamil. I see that as thinking about what kinds of changes you want to make and asking yourself what it is you want to do. You know, certainly you can ask for advice or opinions or anything, but really it's what does Jamil want? What does Jamil want to do? So, and what is the sensibility of that? So invoking the counselor within is take your life experiences, you know, and look around and know that the goals that you're setting are not, I think, in this case, unreasonable. So, Jamil says in the chat that he's had that card before. He finds that interesting. So, trust your own feelings and thoughts about things, Jamil. So, I say, as the King of Clubs, that's achievement, but it's also about movement, changes, and ideas. So, do it. It's a good energy to have behind you.
It sounds like it. Sounds like the universe might be trying to send a message.
Mm-hmm.
But very good. All right. And I do believe we have Audra next. Let's see. Just moving right along tonight. All right, Audra. We have number 31, sacred obligations. All right, let's see. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations. Good card. I feel like we pull that one often.
Well, it is a good card. And so I don't want to alarm anybody when I tell you that I got...
That's a great start.
The devil card that came out here, Audra. And then I pulled another one, and it's a six of hearts. The devil's not a devil, people. What it is a symbol for that place of gray. You know, that place between black and white, that place of confusion or conflict. And in this case, what I'm inclined to want to say, Audra, is to still be who we are and living in those sacred obligations and your own sacred obligations can be challenging when you're facing conflict or facing confusion. And in this case, it's very likely in your inner circle. And not necessarily direct family, but it could even be within some people you know in your social circles or acquaintances, that sort of thing. And, you know, it might be one of those moments where you look around and say, what is happening to everybody? You know, and sometimes there's nothing to figure out. It's just everybody is feeling their own stresses and behavior isn't always in keeping with what they want, but you know, so for you, and I speak for all of us, it's really important just to really center on ourselves and ground ourselves in those sacred obligations. And this is a time when I might remind people to read over the nine principles of belief, you know, because they're really well written and in these simple points that remind us who we are. Not just what we are and what we're doing, but who we are. And stay grounded in that. So your first obligation and most sacred obligation is to yourself, and not to not lose yourself in the gray matter.
Oh, very well said. Very well said.
Well, I hope that makes sense for Audra there. You know, sometimes we do, it seems like we're pulling out a negative, but we have to, you know, address these real life challenges as well.
So that's the reality that we face.
Yeah.
But yeah, got worried about the whole, you know, devil card, mark of the beast, but no. As with many things, there's a deeper message. All right. Dr. Jeff, very happy to have you with us tonight. And let's see what we have. Dr. Jeff, I pulled number one, perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices. Tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Judgment is in support of that, Jeff. And when you have that judgment card, I see that as declaration, announcement. It's not judgment in a negative sense. It's judgment in how we're presenting ourselves. And I say things are moving along for you, and now that you've gone through these changes, it's taking that breath and saying, okay, what am I going to do next, and then announcing that. You know, it's because you're changed, right? Everything is different from yesterday and a year ago, and how are you going to move forward now? And I feel like you got a pretty good handle on that. You got some, you know, really good groundwork set. And now it's okay. The move is in order and the announcement's made. Gee, Jeff, I hope that makes sense to you. So, I think it's a good thing, a good card. So, I'd say you're telling people that this is the changes I'm making.
Good. Good. Very good. All right. I think that's everybody for cards tonight. I don't think I missed anybody there. Of course, I'm so happy to have everybody joining us. It's and of course, we want to throw a shout out to those that we haven't seen a little bit. Card Keeper Wendy, hope she's well. Wishing her the best. And yeah, now that it's, I guess it's come to that time of the evening.
It has. You know, I, again, we got so many birthdays. Mine was on Monday. Happy birthday to me, because at this age, I'm celebrating every single birthday I have. It's my birthday. You know, I know Dr. Edward's birthday is coming, is along this month, and so many others. So celebrate yourself, people.
Absolutely. Good message. And happy belated birthday to you, Dr.
Thank
Hunter.
You.
No, always, you know, always look for reasons to celebrate in life, because life can be dark and painful, but it doesn't have to be, and we can make it better, and we can thrive together. And so,
and you know, I think that celebrating yourself sets an example to others. It's not narcissistic. It's not selfish.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, if you don't celebrate you, how do you expect others to celebrate? You know, it is this, what you're putting out is what's going to happen and what you're getting back. So if people want to celebrate you, then don't dismiss that. People want to give you gifts or well-wishing, receive it gracefully. You know, that is celebrating life and celebrating ourselves. So it's great. Dr. Edward says his birthday was on the 18th, and so, happy birthday,
Happy Dr. birthday.
Ed. Yeah. Boy, if I was there, I'd build you a cake. I love birthdays. I do.
October is a good month for birthdays.
It is. Of all the times, you know, celebrate your birth. Yeah, I will share this with everybody before we close, is in the old ways, in the pantheist ways, and in many cultures, at your birthday, like if my mother was still here, I would celebrate my mother for giving me life, and I would, you know, bring her a gift to thank her. It was never about people giving me gifts. We always celebrate the mother.
Well,
and that's exciting, you know. And
I think
when my kids have their birthdays, they bring me presents, and I would love that, but nobody listens to me. So.
Well, there's a certain logic to it, but I do see how it would benefit the parents.
Yes, it would.
But, well, yeah. Another great discussion. Looking forward to next week's part two, maybe getting into a bit more of the other types of beings that inhabit that mid-world. That, did you call it Midgard earlier?
Yes.
Very interesting.
Of course. Yeah.
So, you know, looking forward to that discussion. Hope everybody has a safe and wonderful and happy Halloween.
Yes.
And, you know, just enjoy the season. Find reasons to celebrate and enjoy life. You know, even in times like this where winter's coming, it's going to get colder. We're going to, you know, go through some hard times, both through the weather and I think in some figurative terms in society, but we're going to get through it together.
No, Michael, I'm not worried about this winter at all, because I went and got myself, listen up people, do you know
waiting.
That they have these shovels, snowblower shovels, and I got a snow blowing shovel, and it's battery operated. I recharge it like you would a drill, and I'm out there, and it throws snow about 20 feet, so I don't care if it snows.
I wish it would snow here in Southwest Florida, just so I'd get to use one of those things. Does it work on sand, too? But
no.
Well, enjoy yourselves.
Good night.
Be safe. Look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.